As I render these words to our great spirit, I'd like to ask you to think about men and women that are overseas. Also, the women and the children and the people that are out on the streets today. And also, I'd like to ask you to think about each of your own families that are in need of this special prayer. So I'm going to say about that much in this language. I want to ask you to help me put your thoughts together. As I say these words, I would like you to put your thoughts as well. Bujo niji and shnabe duk. Bungi at the go in a ta and shinabe. Gawin a pitchy in a ta and shinabe mose. Bebeka in animation. Wani gisi way on. Gishi ba anakwet in dishnikas. Ojibwe and shinabe and thou. Nimi gwichwe dan bimat siwin, mashkal siwin, and shinabek. Manidu mishumisnan. Nakumiswak. Namino ya gaye naminwandam oma ayayin. Idaji gikino amagu gaye niwi gikandan ujibwe ejitawawin. Gibi washkune demoyan mishumis gokumis aki. Miguech awesiyag minoa nisewin. Niwinna ishkode nibi nodin and shinabe wakin aseman mbagninan indaso ondanamak iwudi wabnung jawanung ningabianung minawa giwedinung. Abaji manidu wadizi wak in a shinabek. Nimishumis widau kaushin na demotion. Mi widu kaushin ji mashkawi gabuian zungi de ayan in a shinabek. Miigwech, miigwech, miigwech uwendam, nishnabeg gogigiduin, miigwech ugimawak, nishnabeg, chi miigwech. Thank you.
Amen. Please stay standing for the presentation of the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be offered by Zandria McGeeshik, who is a member of the Sakagan Chippewa community and attends middle school at Leona School. Come on up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great job.
Order.
Please be seated. Gentleman from the fifth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent that the roll call from extraordinary session be applied to the regular session.
Without objection, gentlemen from the fifth ask unanimous consent that the roll call from the extraordinary session be applied to the regular session. Without objection, it is so ordered. Some years ago, the state legislature began an important and valuable tradition of giving an opportunity on an annual basis for leaders from Wisconsin's First Nations to come to us to tell us of their concerns, their hopes, their aspirations, and ways that we can continue to cooperate together, government to government. That tradition continues again today. We will have an address from the chairman of the Sakagan Chippewa community, Chris Magishik, who will address the concerns on behalf of Wisconsin's Native Americans. Chairman.
Chris Magishik Indigenous Cause, Mukwa and Durum, Mi Iwidi, Zakayaganing Indigenous Kade, Anishinaabe Ishkaging, Wunjibayan, Indujibawab, Ima Sakagan, Anishinaabe Okamakandagan. I'm especially happy to be here, and what I just said was I introduced you to myself. I'm Chris Magishik. I'm the Sakagan Chippewa Community Tribal Chairman. I'd like to express my thanks for the opportunity for all of us to be here today, and I would like to welcome all of you here from a distance and from each of the elected officials from the tribes that are here and all of you elected officials that are here today. It is wonderful that we come together with our elders that are throughout the building, our youth that showed up today, as well as our warriors or our veterans, the Ogichida. We work together in helping one another. We want to collaborate with one another to provide solutions for the obstacles facing Anishinaabe people. We'd also like to explain our concerns to the American people, so that we can better understand the needs of the Anishinaabe nations. The way that we can know one another as elected leaders and what it is we should be doing as we work with one another. Also, I'd like to express my sincere thanks to Speaker Voss and the Assembly for having and inviting us here today. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and I thank you all. To my respected colleagues, I am honored that you guys, all of you, have selected me to provide this speech today. And it's for all 11 tribal communities. And as I state your name, would you please stand and be recognized? First off, we have the president of the Ho-Chunk Nation, Mr. John Greendeer. Chairwoman of the Oneida Nation, Tina Danforth. Chairman of the Lakota Ray Tribe of Lake Superior Chippewa, Mick Isham. Chairman of the Menominee Nation, Gary Bisaw. President Wallace Miller of the Stockbridge-Muncie community. Chairman Mike Wiggins of the Bad River Lake Superior Band of Chippewa. We have the Vice Chairman of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, Brian Bainbridge. And representing the Lac des Flambeaux Tribe of Lake Superior Chippewa, Brooks Big John, Tribal Council Member. Then representing the St. Croix Indians of Wisconsin, we have Intergovernmental Affairs, Michael DeCora. When we put the speech together for today, I just have to tell you that trying to represent and provide a speech to all of you that represents all of our Anishinaabe people and all of the Anishinaabe nations is difficult, because we all have things that we would like to include in the speech and things to talk about and discuss with you, something to bring to light. I've had numerous phone calls, just probably as you all receive, text messages, middle of the night phone calls, emails, all this advice as to how we need to go and what we need to include in a speech of this nature. One of the things that I was told right away was, you need a joke. I don't have a joke. I laugh a lot, and humor is great to have in any of the conversations that we have together, whether it's intertribally in our discussions or amongst the legislature, assembly, and politicians, as we all are. We should have the ability to joke and jest and smile, even though we have a lot of tough decisions to make and to make throughout the year and our tenure. The other thing I was told was that I need to get your attention right away and make sure that you listen to the speech throughout. Bring up something that's highly controversial and an area where, as tribes, we stand together and maybe we differ in other areas politically. So I'm going to say that my comment there is, when it comes to the Pinocchio Hill mines, we are not going to see that mine happen while I am here. I do understand the controversy with that, and I respect the time that you have to lend to me today. It's not often that I get the ability to address such a large gathering of my peers, and I hope that you'll bear with me throughout this speech today. And accordingly, President Obama famed it best when he stated that he believes that one day we are going to be able to look back on these years and say that this was a turning point. This was the moment when we began to build a strong middle class in Indian country. The moment when business, large and small, began opening up in reservations. The moment when we stopped repeating the mistakes of the past and began building a better future together. One that honors our traditions and welcomes every Native American into the American dream. Underlying the progress in our tribal nations, belief that tribal leaders must be a part of the solution to problems and to have a seat at the table. United, not divided, is where it begins. Our Anishinaabe culture is about respect. Respect implies responsibility for each other, in fact, for all creation. And it is what I view as a transfer of power. Proper respect is a two-way affair, and it means respect begets respect, and the respectful become respected. And the respect that we have when we become involved in these situations together is where we're going to lead and make a better future for all of our communities. It means listening to each other when we disagree, and it means listening even harder as we work throughout those problems that we have that arise amongst us. The reality is that the American Indians are also citizens of the state of Wisconsin. This is the reality for people represented by all the tribal leaders here today. This provides us a significant common interest and a common mission as government leaders to make the best decisions we can for the people that we represent. We have the smallest contiguous reservation in the state. We're located 7 miles west or south and west of the city of Crandon. Secaugan means post in the lake, and it's because of a spiritual significance that there's this post that stood in, possibly a petrified tree in Post Lake, which is even located south of where we are in Mole Lake. The Secaugan's oral history tells us that although the tribe, we negotiated a 12 square mile reservation like all the other Anishinaabe nations in 1854. The treaty and agreement that was signed by our tribe, however, was lost in a shipwreck in the Great Lakes as it was on its way to Washington, D.C. Our much smaller reservation, which was not recognized until 1939, was the result of a long struggle by our people and led by the late Chief Willard Ackley, the last of our traditional and hereditary chiefs in the Secaugan Chippewa community. In early autumn of each year, when the leaves begin to change color, we as Secaugan people begin to harvest wild rice, or manumen, out on Rice Lake, which is located in the community. Rice Lake is one of the last remaining ancient wild rice beds in the state of Wisconsin. The annual harvest is an essential part of the Indian diet. It has already very little in hundreds of years altered the way that the Secaugan tribe lived or resides within the area that we do today. Family clans migrated from the eastern seaboard of North America to Madeline Island 1,000 years ago, led by a vision that their journey would end where the food grows on the water, which is manumen or wild rice. The Secaugan band's journey ended here in this area of abundant wild rice, and it is here where you will find us today. As we focus on the present, making you aware that the tribes consider the government-to-government relationship with the state of Wisconsin a covenant that needs to be strengthened. Our constituents require the relationship to be strong. Our people, not my people or tribal people, but our people want to be assured that we are working together to build a state with a comprehensive job strategy that includes them. Our people are asking to be included in the plans of sustainable economic development, demanding that we work together towards access to greater nutrition and health care, have the right to know that their natural resources and environment are secure and protected, also that their language and culture are held in high regard. It is not only our tribal leadership responsibility to advocate on behalf of our constituents, it is a responsibility of the state leadership as well. It's the state's leadership that needs to be aware of the difficulties our constituents endure. You should know that the constituents reside in the poorest counties in the state of Wisconsin. We have the highest rate of unemployment and fewer job opportunities than the overall population of the state of Wisconsin. They suffer from a lower life expectancy than the overall population of the state of Wisconsin due to the barriers with health care. Evidence on how long these devastating realities have afflicted the Native American people was quoted in the 1970 address from Congress, or to Congress, from President Nixon regarding the conditions of the time. That statement is, "The first Americans, the Indians, are the most deprived and most isolated minority group in our nation. On virtually every scale of measurement, employment, income, education, and health, the condition of the Indian people ranks at the bottom. This condition is the heritage of centuries of injustice. From time to time, their first contact with European settlers, the American Indians, have been oppressed and brutalized, deprived of their ancestral lands, and denied the opportunity to control their own destiny. 45 years later, many of us still live in the conditions described by President Nixon. The state leadership cannot believe that it is creating policies that are building a strong Wisconsin when those policies are not as strong as the tribal nations. While the gathering such as today can be seen as a positive step, there is an understandable disappointment when those of us engaged in these dialogue see the final outcome creating disproportionate benefits among the constituents. It may be easy to ignore the state of the tribes, but if you want to see how the state is doing, you only need look at the tribes. We may be small, but what we suffer is at the same as the rest of the state, only magnified by our isolation. Tribal sovereignty means a strong Wisconsin at the end of the day. The state of Wisconsin must believe that it is only as strong as the weakest tribal community. We are Wisconsin, and our ills are yours, as is our successes. The state weakens itself by opposing tribal ideas. The state of Wisconsin needs to join the tribal leaders and work together to build tribal communities that are strong, healthy, and economically sustainable. This not only creates strong partnerships, but strong partners. This initiative starts by building a strong coalition based on trust and mutual respect, understanding, and the necessary ideals to promote and propel a change in process and ongoing success. Tribal leaders continue to come to these gatherings. We will seek out state leaders and continue to advocate, educate, and inform them of our shared constituents' ideas and needs. We will continue to work with you to see that we overcome our differences and move Wisconsin towards a strong environment for all of its citizens. Participation early, the transparency, and full communication are the important factors. The real need is to creatively and systematically unfold the strategy and bring it to life by creating integrated action plans across the organizations and ensure that we move beyond saying and doing in real and tangible ways. Commitment is what transforms ideas to reality. An example as to how we reinforce government-to-government relationships is the State Tribal Relations Committee, or the Legislative Committee. Unfortunately, some of the suggestions that we do have as tribes are not always the top of the agenda or don't make it to the legislature. However, we have had some success with the State Tribal Legislative Committee and that body that works together as the tribes in the state, and we appreciate what has been processed through and succeeded. Native American communities, specifically the Native tribes, are tasked with promoting the development of tribal communities in six key areas: promoting sustainable economic development, supporting access to greater nutrition and health care, improving tribal justice systems, expanding and improving educational opportunities, protecting tribal lands, and promoting tribal culture and language. I'll talk first on the promoting of sustainable economic development. Tribal nations need the state to promote sustainable economic development by governance, which is defined as increasing the ability of Wisconsin tribal governments to exercise local control and decision-making to develop and enforce our laws, codes, and policies that reflect and promote the interests of our community members. One such example of where this should be implemented is the state of Wisconsin's infringement on gaming. The infringement on gaming compacts by allowing convenience stores, taverns, and laundromats to offer unlicensed and unregulated, untaxed gambling. An example is establishing economic development projects is that to promote the creation of a sustainable local economy and promote individual self-sufficiency. Collaborative community-based projects in Native American communities promotes sustainable support for services for Native American families, children, and communities. The supporting access to greater nutrition and health care. Supporting states' initiatives for access to the greater nutrition and health care benefits everyone. Native people suffer health problems at rates that are significantly higher than the general U.S. population. Obesity prevalence in Native youth is about twice that of the general public, which is a particular concern given the possible lifelong health effects. The returning of our diet that our elders had in previous years through food sovereignty, returning to the diets that we as Anishinaabe people would like to have would also address a number of these health concerns. One of the many barriers that we have in our communities is the fact that we have programs that allow for this type of nutrition, but we need the USDA and other agencies to recognize and approve the natural foods that we harvest from our lands and treaty areas for use in these institutional programs. Another focus area would be on supporting and promoting physical activity programs among the youth before, during, and after school. These regular physical activities and healthy food choices contribute to better health. They reduce obesity and many chronic conditions, including diabetes and heart disease. Dr. Yvette Robidoux, the former acting IHS director and now senior advisor of the Health and Human Services Secretary, indicates that this partnership will serve Native American communities by expanding the information available on the importance of physical activity and healthy lifestyle choices. Native people experience lower health status when compared with other Americans. Lower life expectancy and disproportionate disease burdens exist perhaps because of inadequate education, poverty, discrimination in the delivery of health services, and cultural differences. These are broad quality of life issues rooted in the economic adversity and the poor social conditions that we have today. We applaud the concept of affordable health care, but on reservations, the fact is affordable health care has had no impact. My tribe and others, at 5 months into the fiscal year, federal funding for the Indian Health Services can only address priority issues, and those are usually involving potential loss of life situations. Our tribe's other health insurance is self-funded and small, though our tribe is, the health care bill will quickly limit our ability to pay, whether that is for physical health or mental health treatments. The improving of the tribal justice system, perhaps the first principle to understand is that Indian tribes view the tribal-federal relationship as one between sovereigns, a government-to-government relationship. And it's how the federal, criminal, and civil jurisdictions overlap in one part of this puzzling, is just one part of this puzzling relationship. Although increasing a quantity and prominence, uneven political, legal, and financial support impedes the ability of many tribal governments, the justice system, to function as full parity with state and federal systems. The challenges facing tribal governments and their justice systems are significant and complex, blurred by weaving jurisdictions between federal, state, and local and tribal authorities. Native nations need to see the state expand on family law that establishes two goals. One goal is to encourage and enhance collaboration between state courts and tribes on children and family issues via the creation of mechanisms for regular interaction. These would include cooperative initiatives intended to enhance access to the state courts while recognizing issues of tribal self-governance. The other goal is to expand and develop judicial education training in order to heighten the awareness of the cultural differences and the family issues. This training would heighten awareness on the specific legal status of Indians and their tribes so the state court judges and tribal court judges understand and respect each other and the process they employ. We must work with the state bar and medical practitioners to suggest Indian Child Welfare Act and family law training are part of their regular continuing education. We must require the Indian Child Welfare Act training for appointed counsel who appear in juvenile court, and we must develop a rule of the court to clarify and provide direction that the Indian Child Welfare Act does not apply or does apply to custody actions, including probate, guardianships, and private adoptions, thereby improving access and resources of people and providers for these services. We must support legislation regarding the Wisconsin Safe Haven Law that is Indian Child Welfare compliant and is not optional. We must also establish residential treatment center capacity in northern Wisconsin and allow the tribes to provide substance abuse and mental health treatment. With the courts and the tribes working together, you can actually increase resources that are available to participants in this system. Expanding and improving educational opportunities would be Superintendent Tony Evers recognizing that one of Wisconsin's greatest strengths is growing diversity of communities, schools, and workplaces. Diversity makes businesses more innovative and competitive, and a more diverse workforce leads to economic growth and opportunities. The progress for Wisconsin to be innovative in the 21st century and for communities to remain strong, all students must have pertinent education and become career ready. As Wisconsin's student population becomes increasingly diverse, the persistence of racial disparities in the educational system poses real challenges to opportunities and economic process. There is an opportunity here for Wisconsin to actually expand Act 31 to create a functioning Native education unit within the Department of Public Education to develop curriculum and instruction about Native history, culture, and tribes as current political units and to provide early language programs. These programs will provide instruction and instructors for access across the state. These resources must be made available across Wisconsin. As tribal leaders, we know that education is key to the better future for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren. We have not forgotten the determination or the detriment of the mental health and welfare and racial mascot issue that our nation and our children are being inflicted upon. We believe the recent decision to override the progress made with the state in regards to the school mascots to be a mockery of the indigenous people in the state and around America. This contempt toward Native people should be corrected by this legislature. Protecting tribal lands, Native people are standing strong and fiercely protecting against fossil fuel and mineral extraction throughout the continent. In some areas where tribal governments protect the local government, residents have begun to see that we as tribal nations are more effective guardians. Their own local state and federal governments, sometimes it's us tribes that they look to help by exerting our sovereign powers and relying on the federal trust responsibility. Tribal nations can draw federal agencies and courts into the fray in a way that local and state governments cannot. The Anishinaabe people offer a strong cultural anchor to the movement that makes it less willing to compromise. Tribes cannot simply move away from risks or shift their treaty harvesting areas because we are fixed in place in our ancestral lands. We have one of the most strained yet rewarding relationships with the DNR. We implore the DNR board, secretary, and this body to protect the ecological treasures of the state of Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, the Chippewa Federation joined by non-Native neighbors to fight and stop the establishment of an iron ore mine in Iron County. Meanwhile, the Ho-Chunk Nation and local residents are protesting frac sand mining. And as recently as the early 1990s, many Wisconsin sportsmen were protesting the exercise of off-reservation treaty rights by the Ojibwe. But the tribes presented their treaties as a legal obstacle to mining plans and formed an alliance, such as the Midwest Treaty Network. Instead of continuing to argue over the fish, some sport fishing groups began to cooperate with tribes to protect the fish, and we won a key 2003 victory by stopping the proposed Crandon copper zinc mine. The Sacagan Chippewa and the Forest County Potawatomi tribes were active in the buyout of the proposed Crandon mine. We sat at the table with folks from the DNR and we discussed how to make good decisions that would preserve the land, air and water of our homeland and the homeland of thousands of others, as the preservation of our natural resources is an integral part of respecting all things. We must establish a policy with the state pertaining to dual enforcement and the co-management of natural resources that are adjacent to our reservations as well as on all public lands within the ceded territories. As Mo Lake Ojibwe Elder Francis Van Zyl said, "This is my home. When it's your home, you try to take good care of it, including all of the people in it." Promoting tribal culture and language, along with other tribes, we feel the gradual loss of our languages. Rich languages that gave names to so much of Wisconsin's geography. Many of the people that learn their own language as a second language nowadays is sometimes considered a foreign language. And in so many schools, that learning doesn't even start or begin until after the skills are solidified on their language with the English language. For these reasons, we want for each tribe to be able to open and charter schools directly with the state. This will allow each tribe, the Ojibwe, the Ho-Chunk, Menominee, Oneida, Potawatomi, and Mohican, to assume the role of educating their own tribal members and framing the content of that education to fit the needs of their individual communities. We also ask the state to allow for dual language signage in our communities in recognition of the contributions that Native people's language have made to these unique areas. It is only in the recognition of our differences that we find our commonalities. In conclusion, Native American tribal governments are an integral part of the political fabric of the state of Wisconsin. Native people's lack of inclusion in the key factors regarding the challenges mentioned today belies a lack of respect. Befittingly, on February 27, 2004, Executive Order 39 was issued, recognizing the sovereignty of the 11 tribal governments in Wisconsin. The unique government-to-government relationship that exists between the state and the tribes, the goals and objectives remain the same. It is now time to move beyond saying and doing, aimed at increasing ties between state agencies and tribal governments in order to streamline and improve our services our tribal nations require. Tell me and I'll forget. Show me and I may not remember. Involve me and I'll understand. United is not divided, and that's where it begins. And now let me tell you what the state of the tribes isn't. We aren't destitute and we aren't distressed. And every one of these tribal leaders will confirm this. We are not defeated. We will be strong and together we will move forward. Miigwech. Thank you for listening today.
Thank you very much, Chairman Magishik. I do want to take one moment. I missed earlier this morning. I also want to recognize that we have Governor Walker's cabinet is also joining us today, so let's welcome them to the Assembly Chambers. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We appreciate your words, and we will take them to heart and look forward to working with you over the course of the session on areas where we can find common ground. Thanks very much for being here today. Next, we will retire. If all the members could please rise.